Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
So, Lord Jesus, as we look into your word today and we learn about who you are, help us to be like you and surrender to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. On Tuesday evening, we held our society meeting, which is Free Methodist Speak, for our semi-annual business meeting. And I came away from the meeting feeling blessed because we heard stories about what God was doing. And you know, if you can come away from a business meeting feeling blessed, you know the church is doing okay. So I just want to give thanks for that, and it was just a good meeting. We elected Paul Cowie and James Casabo as our new board members, and so they will be starting in September. Well, if you have your Bibles, smartphones, tablets, and want to follow along, we're going to be looking at the passage that was read, Mark chapter 2, and into Mark chapter 3. And the verses will be up on the screen as well. The country of Iran has what has come to be known as the morality police. The official name is the Guidance Patrol, and they are a law enforcement body tasked with enforcing Islamic dress codes. They especially focus on women, ensuring that the hijab covers all the hair and everything, that the women are wearing loose clothing. And when we get to our passage today, the passage that was just read, the Pharisees have set themselves up as the morality police. They did not have law enforcement power, but they made it a point to shame anyone who did things in a way that they thought they shouldn't. The particular point of the law that they were focusing on or trying to enforce was that of Sabbath day behavior. I remember when I was a kid, shops and stores were closed on Sunday. I grew up working on a dairy farm, and we'd always milk the cows, but we wouldn't do any extra work on Sunday. But life has changed, and when it comes to the Sabbath, and we celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday because it's Resurrection Day rather than Friday evening to Saturday evening. But when it comes, the Western world has changed, and Western Christians are somewhat muddled in their thinking about Sunday. The cultural phenomena is past, and retail transactions are instilled in our culture on Sunday now. But we mostly believe that a day off from work a week is a good idea, but many of us aren't sure how to achieve it. So when it comes to these stories about Sabbath, some of our minds tend to go there. But while these stories are centered around the concept of Sabbath, they're not really about Sabbath. Now, I'm a big fan of a day off a week to take a Sabbath, to restore your soul, to have some recreation or to recreate, to celebrate, to worship, to engage in community. But I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Sabbath either today, because our stories that we're looking at today are so much bigger than the Sabbath day. In fact, as I preach this, I'm going to have to restrain myself from becoming too political, because Jesus in these stories is making some political remarks. Jesus is also taking to task thoughtless religiosity. He's calling us who the world would label religious, to lift our eyes to something far greater than that. But in order to understand what's going on here, you need to understand the Sabbath day as it was viewed in Jesus' time. Keeping the Sabbath day was, of course, one of the Ten Commandments. I find it interesting that that's the only commandment that's not reiterated in the New Testament as one that we have to keep. You can make of that what you would. But the Jewish people in Jesus' time, the Sabbath was much more than just a commandment. It was a point of national identity. It and circumcision were things that distinguished the Jewish people from their pagan neighbors. Observing the Sabbath was not something they did to earn God's favor. It was a sign that they belonged to the true God who created the world and who rested on the seventh day. You know how free health care kind of is strongly speaks into the identity of us as Canadians? Well, the Sabbath day and celebrating the Sabbath day, that would be kind of the equivalent in Israel at Jesus' time. So with that background, come with me to the story, Mark chapter 2, verse 23. So one Sabbath day, Jesus was walking through some grain fields with his disciples, and his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. Now, you and I would think nothing of this, except for the fact maybe, you know, who wants to eat uncooked barley or wheat or oats? Some of us might hesitate, you know, from taking someone else's crop, but in Jesus' day, this was quite acceptable. In fact, there were paths around the edges of the field so that people could actually do this. The problem was that Jesus and his disciples were doing this on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees interpreted the actions of Jesus and the disciples as reaping, threshing, and preparing a meal on the Sabbath day. And so verse 24 says, "But the Pharisees said to Jesus, 'Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?'" You know, you and I see this as nitpicking, but when your identity is formed around what you can't do on the Sabbath, all kinds of customs and traditions spring up, and Jesus responds not by denying that they're breaking the rules, but here's what he says, verse 25. So Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days of Abiathar, was the high priest, and he broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." The Pharisees would know this Old Testament story. They would know it. And when they heard Jesus compare what he did to what David did, they would be livid. I don't have time to focus on the whole Old Testament story, but they would be thinking, not only is Jesus disrespecting the Sabbath, but now he is putting himself on par with King David and the hero of their faith. But before the Pharisees could even respond to that and catch their breath, Jesus says this, verse 27. "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was not made to meet the needs of people. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Jesus is saying, "I have the right to dictate what is going on the Sabbath. He's saying, "I'm the Son of Man," and the Son of Man, that's kind of an Old Testament reference to the coming Messiah. So in one fell swoop, Jesus is claiming to be the Messiah, and he's saying, "The Son of Man, me, I'm Lord of the Sabbath." So in one quick statement, Jesus puts himself on par with King David. He claims to be the Messiah. He asserts his right over to speak into Israel's national identity, the Sabbath. He claims to have authority over the Sabbath, and he claims that he was more important than the Sabbath. Well, you probably get an inkling of why the Pharisees are upset. Jesus is talking about this whole new way of being. To frame it in Jesus' language, when the kingdom of God breaks into a place, then rules will be for the health of the people. It will not be about nationalism or identity, or tradition. The kingdom of God will be about the health of the people, about good for the people. I condemn the Pharisees, but I've seen way too many churches act like the Pharisees. Remember a time when There were unspoken rules of what you could and couldn't wear to church. There were rules about what you could and couldn't do on Sunday. We even turned our preferences and tastes into rules so we could have this kind of music and not that kind of music and this kind of instrument, but not that kind of instrument. And the list could go on. I trust that Asbury's pulled back from that kind of faith. But the kingdom of God's about people. That's what Jesus is driving at here. I want to go down a little bit of a rabbit trail here just for a moment. In the U.S., Christian nationalism seems to be on the rise. Christian nationalism merges one's Christian identity with one's political identity. They have this idea that the country was founded by Christians and should remain at all costs Christian. They use politics as a means to enforcing their version of Christian morality. I'm talking about these because those kind of things have a way of bleeding into Canada. In the story we just looked at, Jesus refuses to be co-opted by the nationalistic tendencies of the Pharisees. He especially says, your identity as a country is how you observe the Sabbath, but the kingdom of God doesn't buy into that kind of nationalism. It's not about a set of rules or nationalistic pride. It's about me being Lord, Lord even of the Sabbath. It's not about a political agenda. Jesus says, I'm Lord over all. Don't spiritualize your hunger for political power. Christian nationalism is trying to create what they believe to be good by means that are unspiritual at best and immoral at worst. That's not the Jesus way. So if that kind of stuff bleeds over into Canada and you want to merge your political identity and your Christian identity, don't. Okay, I'm finished with that rabbit trail. So let me move on to the next story. So the Pharisees are really ticked with Jesus. Now they're out to get him. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 says this. So when Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand, since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Sometimes we get so focused on something we think is good that we acquire tunnel vision. We can't see the big picture because we're focused on that which we hold sacred and it upsets us when it's broken. That's what's happening to the Pharisees. The big picture here is that if Jesus heals this man, God's power is on display. The creator of the world is stepping into his world and performing this miraculous healing. And that would be overwhelmingly amazing. What did the Pharisees focus on? Sabbath. Now, of course, none of these guys had ever done a miracle. They couldn't really tell if it was work or not. But they're quick to condemn Jesus for working on the Sabbath. Sometimes, in the effort to do good, we get really skewed and our priorities need to get straight. They would put the rules of the Sabbath over curing a lifelong disability. So what does Jesus do? Well, of course, he knows what's going on. Verse 3. So Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is it a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. Jesus knew that they were looking for ways to condemn him, yet he does not say to the man, well, come back tomorrow and I'll heal you. He does not pull him off into the corner of a synagogue. Let's go in the back room here and you know, we'll do something. You know, he calls the man up to the front of the synagogue so that he performs a miracle in the sight of everyone. He heals the deformed hand with the man standing in front. He's basically saying to the Pharisees, think that your rules are more important than this man. I don't. The kingdom of God values people. He especially frames it this way. If I heal the man, I'm doing good. If I don't heal the man, I'm doing evil. What is more important to God? Do I do good on the Sabbath, or do I do evil? Of course, the Pharisees didn't answer him. They stayed silent. And look at Jesus' response to their silence. Verse 5. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Or the NIV puts it, he looked around at them in anger and was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He's angered, saddened, deeply distressed that they would diminish the worth of a man for their rules. In the kingdom of God, people are valued. The kingdom values disabled people and marginalized people. It values people who, like the disciples, are out for a walk and get hungry. The kingdom of God values you because God values you. It follows that if we are going to be citizens of the kingdom of God, we have to value people as well. We're looking into putting a park bench on the front lawn of our church here. I'm very aware that if we put a front bench on the lawn of our church, people will sit there and smoke, and we will probably have butts on our lawn. What does God value, those people or pristine lawn? It follows that if we're going to be in the kingdom of God, we need to value people. I love the fact that we have children and youth in our church. My experience, though, is if you have children and youth in your church, stuff is going to get broken. Right? It just kind of happens. You know, we don't want them out of control, but at the same time, you fully expect stuff to happen. But the kingdom of God says those kids, those youth, they're more important than this stuff. This also extends to our personal lives. It's easy for us to choose our own comfort over people. It's easy to choose to not interrupt our schedule because of people. But the kingdom of God values people. And I recognize this nuance because the kingdom of God values people, and you people are people, and so you're balancing off self-care with others, care of others. It needs to be weighed. Just understand that Jesus values people. You don't see Jesus get angry very often. But here he got angry. And here he got saddened by their hard hearts. Now, he was angry. He was looking at it. But that didn't stop him from doing good. Verse 5. So he looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. Don't let other people's hard hearts keep you from loving others. See, we live in a world that has warped values. Many companies have a way of valuing their shareholders and directors more than they do their workers and consumers. Many politicians value power over doing the right thing. Now, there's always exceptions to these things, right? So you can't say that all companies or all politicians, but there's a trend. But it's easy to see hard-heartedness around us and for that hard-heartedness to become contagious. Don't let that happen. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom. He came to show us another way to live. And just because people want to put you down does not mean that you don't do good to others. In spite of what we see around us, live out the values of the kingdom. That probably won't win us many awards. Back to our story, Jesus brings the man up to the front of the synagogue. He's permanently disabled. He's a withered hand. Jesus has both the power and the will to heal the man. He does in the face of criticism, he heals this man that others are saying this is the wrong day to heal him on. You would think that people would celebrate the good that they had witnessed, but that's not what happened. Verse 6. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. They saw Jesus do good, and they wanted to kill him. If we value people over efficiency and progress, we will find ourselves on the wrong side of many people in our world. We live in a world that there are many things that try to dehumanize us. We live in a world where the young are valued more than the old. Beautiful people are valued more than those who were not blessed with good looks. Rich people are valued more than poor people. Some nationalities are valued more than other nationalities. But that is not the way in the kingdom of God. Jesus snubbed the common understanding of Sabbath, and I believe that he snubs our culture's way of defining what's valuable. This kind of belief was explosive back then, still countercultural today. But followers of Jesus follow Jesus into the heart of the kingdom. They value what he values, they love what he loves. And the kingdom of God values people. We've been walking through the book of Mark. This is the sixth installment of the book of Mark. And Mark has been trying to show us who Jesus is by what he does. And we've seen that he has the authority to preach and cast out demons. He has the authority to forgive sin and heal people. Now Mark is showing us that he has the authority over cultural norms. He wants to lead us in a different way. I would urge you, follow Jesus into the heart of the kingdom. It might cause you to be different, but his way is the right way. Lord Jesus, thank you for your stories of how you lived and what they have to say to us. Lord, we don't struggle so much with Sabbath, but we struggle with a lot of things in our culture that wants to dehumanize us or wants us to stay in our lane rather than help people. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to know when to step out and with compassion and love and grace to touch people's lives. Lord, forgive us when we have valued our own comfort over people. Lord, I pray for people. Help us to be a people who love well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com. where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.